Richard Cardinal Cushing, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Boston, is en route to Hyannisport to console the sorrowing parents. The Cardinal, who married President Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier, called the President's death today a martyrdom for the free world. This is Vin Maloney with Arthur Smith in Boston, returning you to CBS News in New York.
It might be recalled that Cardinal Cushing also delivered a memorable prayer at the inauguration of President Kennedy in January 1961. One of our reporters was on his way to work here in New York when he heard the news on his car radio that the president had been shot. He reports that a few minutes later, traffic on the Long Island Expressway began to slow down and then came to a halt. Several people left their automobiles. A few women gathered in a group. All of them were crying. None said anything. They just cried. Then our reporter stopped and turned toward his car. He folded his arms against the top of the car and buried his face in them. Now back to Alan Jackson.
We're getting more information now from Dallas on the suspect that is being held in the Kennedy assassination. So for that report, let's switch to correspondent Nelson Benton in Dallas.
A 24-year-old man from Fort Worth, Texas, is being questioned this afternoon by Dallas police in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. The man, Lee Harvey Oswald, was arrested at a theater about 3 miles from the spot where the president was killed. He was arrested after a policeman attempting to make the arrest was shot and killed at the theater. So far, there has been no word on his being officially charged in the assassination. Oswald's arrest followed a quick police search that was spread out in the vicinity of the Dallas School Book Depository, the building from which it's believed the president was shot. A field near the area was searched. A rifle was found on the sixth floor. It was shortly after that the gunfight ensued at the theater about 3 miles away. Oswald was taken into questioning. He's being questioned now. This is Nelson Benton in Dallas, Texas.
Texas Governor John Connally was riding in the same limousine with President Kennedy and suffered serious wounds from the assassin's bullets, but we have been told that Governor Connally is in satisfactory condition, although serious condition. One of the latest reports on the condition of the Governor Connally is that there is no reason to believe at this time, that is in the usual post-operative recovery period, that the Texas governor will not achieve a complete recovery. He was lucid during the time preceding the operation. One bullet went through his chest, striking the fifth rib and doing considerable damage in that area, including a portion of the lung. The bullet emerged, striking Governor Connally's wrist, causing damage to the radial wrist bone, and then went further to hit the governor's thigh. The latter two injuries are considered reasonably minor. The doctors believe that Governor Connally of Texas, barring some unforeseen complication, will make a complete recovery. House Speaker John McCormick has announced that President Kennedy's body will lie in state at the White House tomorrow. McCormick said he thinks the body will be taken to the Capitol Sunday to remain in the Great Rotunda until about noon Monday. Further plans are indefinite, but it's understood the actual funeral services will be held in Boston. Traditionally, the presidents who die in office have lain in state in the Rotunda. Pentagon officials expect the funeral to be a full-dress state ceremony. Preparations are going ahead on that assumption. A well-informed source says the president's body will be taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital tonight, and President Johnson will go to the White House. It isn't certain at the moment whether President Johnson will spend the night at the White House this evening. UN Ambassador Adlai Stevenson has issued a comment on the assassination that took place today. So for the recorded excerpt of Ambassador Stevenson's press conference, we hear now from the tape room.
The tragedy of this day is beyond instant comprehension. All of us who knew him will bear the grief of his death to the day of ours. And all men everywhere who love peace and justice and freedom will bow their heads. At such a moment, we can only turn to prayer. Prayer to comfort our grief, to sustain Mrs. Kennedy and his family, to strengthen President Johnson, and to guide us in time to come. May God help us.
Ambassador Adlai Stevenson, as he spoke at the United Nations this afternoon. And now, CBS News correspondent Wells Church is standing by in Washington to bring us word from the man who is next in line to the presidency after President Lyndon Johnson, the Speaker of the House, Representative McCormick. Here is Wells Church on Capitol Hill.
That is John W. McCormick, the Speaker of the House. Of course, as much affected as anyone here, because as Alan Jackson just said, he is now the number two man in this government. He is would ascend to the presidency if anything should happen to our new president, Lyndon Johnson. This is what the Speaker had to say when he learned of Mr. Kennedy's death.
The tragic death of President Kennedy is a great loss, not only to our country, but to the entire world. President Kennedy was giving to our country and to the free world visionary, sterling, and courageous leadership so necessary during this trying period of the world's history. The bullet of the assassin has taken from our midst one of the great Americans of all time. The world, in addition to our country, the people of our country will mourn not only the passing of this great man, but the dastardly manner in which his death took place. I have lost a dear and personal friend, and I and Mrs. McCormick, with the rest of the people of the nation, mourn the passing of our great president and our outstanding leader. I know that all Americans join with me and Mrs. McCormick in extending to Mrs. Kennedy and the other loved ones of the family of our late president our deepest sympathy in their bereavement. While he has left us, he takes his place in history. And I know that if he could speak to us from the great beyond, that he would say to you and I, all Americans, whether we occupy official life or not, carry on and see that your children and your children's children live under the same form of government that we have today. So from the sacrifices, the leadership, the dedicated service of President Kennedy, let us renew our confidence in the future of our country, let us renew our love of our country, and let us go forth determined to follow the spirit of President Kennedy with faith and with confidence, meeting all challenges and all obstacles that might occur, and to lead us through the leadership, his spirit, the spirit of President Kennedy, and the leadership of President Johnson, to a world of peace.
Thus, the message of John W. McCormick, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Mr. McCormick is from Massachusetts. This is Wells Church in Washington.
The CBS radio network will program continuously on the story of the death of President John Kennedy and subsequent developments until further notice. We're going to pause again briefly to allow our stations to identify themselves. We will take a 5-second pause for our station identification. This is the CBS radio network.
Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830 WCCO.
Tragedy that occurred this afternoon in Mexico City. A customs official says that the border between the United States and Mexico was sealed immediately after the assassination of President Kennedy. The Mexican official said the order closing the frontier was issued by United States authorities this afternoon. And now we have been getting more details on the tragedy, and there is a curious, at least, coincidence of people being held and questioned in the shooting this afternoon. Here's Dallas Townsend with that.
Alan, the only man who is known to be under arrest at the moment is Lee H. Oswald, who is said to be 24 years old, and he was arrested not in connection with the assassination of the president, but in connection with the killing of a Dallas policeman whose name is given as J.D. Tippett. first report we had was that a Secret Service man had been killed. That turned out to be erroneous. But a Dallas, Texas police officer, J.D. Tippett, was killed. And this 24-year-old man, Lee H. Oswald, has been arrested and is being questioned in connection with that killing. Now, he's identified in a report we have from Dallas as chairman of a Fair Play for Cuba committee. Police in Dallas say that Oswald was accused in the slaying of Officer Tippett shortly after the shooting of the president. Police Captain Pat Ganaway says the suspect is an employee in the building where a rifle was found. Now, presumably, that is the rifle that was used to assassinate the president. Ganaway says the suspect had visited Russia and was married to a Russian. This has not been confirmed. The Associated Press tells us that Oswald returned to his home in Fort Worth, Texas from Russia last year after having been in the Soviet Union since 1959. According to the Associated Press, Oswald spent his time in Russia working in a factory in Minsk and left only after he apparently became disillusioned with life in Russia. He had gone there after his discharge from the United States Marines and announced that he wanted to remain there. However, according to the Associated Press, he had a change of heart and applied for a passport in the autumn of 1962, last year, saying that he wanted to return to the United States with the Russian wife, whom he had met and married while in the Soviet Union. They are said to have one child. The passport was issued, and Soviet authorities granted exit permits for Oswald and his wife and child. It was in 1959, after he defected to the Soviet Union, this is still on the authority of the Associated Press, that Oswald told American embassy officials in Moscow that he had applied for Soviet citizenship. It was apparently sometime after that that he changed his mind. We have nothing further on this man named Lee H. Oswald. So far, he has not been charged. He is being questioned in connection with the fatal shooting of Dallas police officer J.D. Tippett. Alan?
The White House has announced that President Lyndon Johnson will meet at the White House this evening with Defense Secretary McNamara and White House National Security Aide McGeorge Bundy, and then he will confer with the bipartisan leadership of Congress. President Johnson is flying back to Washington now from Dallas aboard the presidential jet plane, the same plane that is bringing President Kennedy's body back, and also returning Mrs. Kennedy to the Capitol. White House sources say that President Kennedy's body will be taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital when it arrives this evening. President Johnson will be flown directly to the White House from Andrews Air Force Base in suburban Maryland. Newsmen were told at late afternoon that the Kennedy children had not yet been told of the death of their father. This presumably would be done by Mrs. Kennedy. Officials say that the President's brother-in-law, Sergeant Shriver, is making arrangements for the funeral in connection with military officials.
Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, WCCO. General Manager Larry Haig of WCCO Radio announced that the entire regular schedule of programs on this station is being preempted for special news broadcasts and a memorial broadcast, which will continue for the balance of the day. Here are some announcements. Cancellations of events in CCO land due to the president's death. Minneapolis public schools have canceled the high school basketball exhibition game scheduled for tonight in the Minneapolis auditorium. This has been canceled. School officials said that an athletic exhibition does not seem appropriate tonight and ordered all flags lowered to half-mast in Minneapolis until after memorial services. Eden Prairie Watertown basketball game is canceled. The Austin De La Salle basketball game is also canceled. All meetings scheduled for John W. Macy, chairman of the U.S. Civil Service Commission, on Monday and Tuesday, those meetings in the Twin Cities have been canceled. The Minnesota Amusement Company's entire circuit will be closed for all matinee performances the day of President Kennedy's funeral. Another cancellation, the Amory versus Baldwin-Woodville basketball game has been postponed until a future date. And the Minneapolis Symphony will go on tonight. However, tonight's program will be performed in memory of the president. The Sadie Hawkins Dance, which was to have been held tonight at St. Paul Monroe High School, has been canceled. The Shrine Temple Vaudeville Show, to be held at Robbinsdale High School, has been canceled tonight. And Father Finn of St. Mary's School in White Bear Lake has canceled religious instruction for all grade school children tomorrow and Sunday. Two operettas scheduled for tonight at Bethany College in Mankato, Minnesota, have been canceled. They will be presented tomorrow night and Sunday night as originally scheduled. A wrestling match, Sibley High School versus Brooklyn Center High School, has been canceled. That was scheduled for tonight. That has been canceled. Yellow Medicine County Republican Rally in Clarkfield, Minnesota, scheduled for tomorrow night, has been canceled. And the Twin Cities Catholic Mixer, which was to be held tonight in the Prom Ballroom in St. Paul, has been canceled. Here is a list of special church services to be held today and tonight. A service of prayer at 7 o'clock this evening at the Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Chicago Avenue and 31st Street, Minneapolis. There is a service from 5 until 8 tonight at Christ Methodist Church at 2500 Hudson Road in St. Paul. There is a solemn Requiem High Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul in St. Paul and at the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis. That is at 5:15 p.m. A service at 8 this evening at McAllister Presbyterian Church, 1658 Lincoln Avenue, St. Paul. There will be a Mass for the Dead at St. Rose of Lima Church at 2072 North Hamlin, St. Paul, at 8:30 p.m. tonight. A memorial prayer service will be held at the University Lutheran Church of Hope, 601 13th Avenue Southeast, Minneapolis, at 7 tonight. At 7 tonight, a memorial service and prayers at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church at 2300 Hamlin North in Roseville. There will be a high requiem Mass at St. Olaf Catholic Church in downtown Minneapolis at 5:30. A special service will be held at 6 o'clock tonight at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church at 28th Avenue and 31st Street, Minneapolis. A special service will be held at 7:30 tonight at Lutheran Church of the Redeemer, Dale and Carroll in St. Paul, and a requiem Mass at St. Pascal's Catholic Church at 3rd Street and White Bear Avenue in St. Paul at 5:30 this evening. And combined memorial services of the four churches in the St. Anthony Park area, Episcopal, Methodist, Congregational, and Lutheran, memorial services combined will be held at St. Anthony Park Lutheran Church beginning at 5:30. That's at 2323 Como Avenue in St. Paul. The WAMSO, WAMSO Post Symphony Party at the Gaslight tonight has been canceled. Those are cancellations, and we'll be bringing you up to date as those cancellations come into our WCCO Radio News Bureau. The latest word in the weather that you should be aware of, because hazardous driving warnings have been issued for parts of Minnesota for the northeast tonight. The clouds will diminish and it's going to become much colder. Occasional snow is expected in the northeast portion tonight, and Saturday, tomorrow, the weather will be generally fair but colder. Occasional cloudiness and continued cold weather tomorrow night with scattered light snow or snow flurries in the northern portions. The expected lows tonight in Minnesota, 0 in the northwest to 15 above in the southeast. Highs tomorrow will range from 10 to 25. Here's the Twin Cities forecast. Cold weather in sight. Diminishing cloudiness, much colder. And tomorrow it will be fair and colder. Occasional cloudiness and a little colder Saturday night. Winds northwesterly at 10 to 15 miles per hour tonight and Saturday. The low expected tonight in our Twin Cities, 12 above. High tomorrow, 20. The low Saturday night will be 5 above. So there is a cold trend and a hazardous driving warning for the northeast portion of Minnesota that you should be aware of. There's very light snow falling right now at Alexandria, light rain at La Crosse. Most other points reporting clear to partly cloudy skies. It's 26 minutes past 4 o'clock, 30 degrees in our Twin Cities under cloudy skies. We take you now back to CBS Net Alert News. Dallas Townsend of CBS, George Herman of CBS, Alan Jackson, Alexander Kendrick in London, Daniel Shore in Bonn, Stuart Novins in Moscow, bringing you up to date on the latest developments on the president's death. We now return you to CBS Radio in New York.
That is quite true, of course, Dallas.
So it's also interesting to point out that if he does make it, and there's no way of telling whether he will be the second prime minister who is half American. The first one was Winston Churchill.
That's right. In Berlin, by the way, there was a curious and interesting reaction. West Berlin's mayor, Willy Brandt, went on the radio and television a short while ago and called on all Berliners to put lighted candles in their windows tomorrow night in commemoration of President Kennedy. Willy Brandt said, "Berlin has lost its best friend with the death of the first citizen of the world." He said, "A flame had been extinguished for everyone hoping for a just peace and a better life." And interestingly, within minutes after Brandt's statement, asking for candles to be lighted in windows tomorrow night, the first candles began to appear in windows all over Berlin tonight. In Washington, British Ambassador Sir David Ormsby Gore, a personal and longtime friend of the late president, said, "This horrible, wicked, and senseless act has deprived not only the American people, but the world of a great and wonderful man. Jack Kennedy was the best and most loyal friend one could ever hope to have, and I feel a sense of loss beyond description."
Cardinal Cushing, Alan, has now issued a statement. The Cardinal, who was a very long-time family friend, who christened both of the Kennedy children, Caroline and John Jr., who married Senator Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier in 1953, and who made a prayer at the president's inaugural, Cardinal Cushing is now on his way to Hyannisport to be with the Kennedy family, but he has issued this statement, in which he says, "My heart is broken with grief over his martyrdom for the cause of a free world. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, known to me for a lifetime and loved by me as a devoted friend, has laid down his life for us all. Greater love than this, no man hath. Since the day he assumed the office of president, he exemplified in his life, as in his death, the title of his famous book, Profiles in Courage. I recall that in his inauguration address, he stated that he would not shrink from his responsibilities. He has been faithful to that pledge even unto death." And Cardinal Cushing adds, "I pray especially that the youth of this world, and particularly in America, will take a lesson from his courageous words and deeds and work for freedom, equality, and justice, which his youthful vigor sought for all the peoples of this earth. May God rest the noble soul of this youthful martyr." That's the statement issued a few moments ago by Richard Cardinal Cushing, the Archbishop of Boston, the longtime friend and intimate of the Kennedy family, the man who married the president and Jacqueline Bouvier just a bit more than 10 years ago.
Dallas, French President de Gaulle has sent a message to Mrs. Kennedy saying, "The immense sorrow which has stricken you moves my wife and I from the bottom of our hearts. Please accept our assurance that we are with you in thought and in prayer. President Kennedy will never be forgotten."